Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. They take care of your insurance needs, auto, home, life, business insurance. And their motto is one that we all live by. Very simple. If service and price mean something to you, it means everything to them. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, a.k.a. the Chateau, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Two reports out today, one from Dave Jones of the Patriot News and PennLive.com. He's the one that put the story out there first, that according to sources that he has spoken with, that Dave Joyner is going to resign as Penn State's athletic director. And mentioned it could be possibly by the end of the week. There's been no confirmation on that at all. He did attempt to get a hold of Dr. Joyner, and he was unable to. Onward State also reporting that, but also citing the Penn Live article as well. So we want to make sure that you're in the loop, that you're up to date as to what's going on, what's being talked about. We'll find out how accurate the sources are in the story as to whether or not he has decided to stay on or resign as Penn State's athletic director. But again, Dave Jones of PennLive.com is reporting that he would resign. The timing is such with a new president, Dr. Eric Barron, and also the end of the fiscal year. And that's why the timing is interesting. New president's been here a month, Dr. Eric Barron, and the fiscal year is over in 13 days. So that way everyone knows that we're just trying to give you whatever news is out there. We'll find out the validity of the report. Dave's a solid, rock-solid reporter. Sources talk to him. He's careful about that and takes care of it. And we pass it along to you and make sure we have attribution. There you go. Today, OJ went for a ride in the Bronco. We now bring in the Prince of TMZ, Kevin Hur.
You know, I remember that very, very much because
I lived it through it. You loved it.
For this one thing, I lived through it.
Okay, this is what I eat up. This is really sports. This is really news.
It actually made me watch the NBA Finals that particular day.
I did. I got home in time to watch a little bit of the NBA Finals. I was in a different spot.
You know, though,
I was covering the U.S. Open Golf Championship.
Well, you know that in that particular situation, Bob Costas, I believe, was doing the pregame for the finals.
In the garden.
Yeah. And OJ was actually trying to get a hold of Bob Costas.
Yeah, he tried to call him at the studio. He had the studio number.
He did not have any other number for him but the studio, right.
Well, people didn't have cell phones. 1994.
I bet you Bob Costas did.
No, really. They may have had mobile phones. That's why he was able to call from the car. Remember, it was a big deal if you call from a mobile phone, a car phone. And that's how the police were talking to O.J. was on a mobile phone, a car phone. And O.J. tried to call the studio, and Bob Costas, some tech, I guess, answered the phone. He goes, Bob Costas there? He said, no. He said, did I tell him who called? He said, O.J. Simpson. He goes, sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Click, hung up. I'm at the U.S. Open Golf Championship, and it's the second round. It's a Friday afternoon. hot, sweltery day at Oakmont. Arnold Palmer, of course, from Latrobe, Oakmont, among major courses, was his home course. So he's now playing in the U.S. Open, and everyone knows it's his final time. He's, you know, the exemptions have run out, and he's not going to get another one. And there's no way he can qualify. Everybody knows that. So I remember I went out now on the course, and I followed a couple of groups here and there. I remember Johnny Miller was playing with Jack Nicklaus, as an example. And I followed that group for a few holes and a couple of other guys along the way. And then I went back to the interview tent and was doing some work there because there were reports I had to file. Then they said Arnold Palmer's on the 18th tee. So I went out at the midway point of the fairway and then watched him as he hit his second shot in and made the walk up the hill to 18. And everyone knows it's his last time. And thunderous ovation, the whole deal. You know, he finally holes out. A lot of emotion. And I go back to the interview tent because obviously once he's done signing his scorecard, he's coming in. And the interview tent is filled to the brim. Filled. And I'm in the very back. I'm in the very last row standing up. And he comes in, sits down. They went through his deal shot by shot. And he comments. And he says, basically he said, let's just go to questions, I guess. And this woman in the front, British accent, says, you know, on the tour, you were the king, the man, the one that put the tour on the map. What were your emotions as you walked up 18 for the final time? And he broke down and cried. He tried to answer the question a couple of different times and could maybe get a sentence out, and then had to stop, get a sentence out, have to stop. And they finally looked at everybody and he said, I'm so sorry, I can't do this. And he got up and put his hand up and he walked out. And the media did something I've never seen before and I've never seen since, and I don't think I'll ever see again. They gave him a standing ovation when he walked out. So now I go back and I have to file reports. And so I file reports on Arnold Palmer finishing up. And then Jack Nicklaus comes in, and he's in the thick of the tournament. He's actually in the hunt. I think he was second at that point. And he comes in, and he's tremendous. You talk to him, and then he did individual one-on-ones with each of us, which was just fabulous. And then file a series of reports on that. And the leader of the tournament at that point was Colin Montgomery. And then air in the tent just came right out. And the Colin Montgomery I see today on Golf Channel, why couldn't you have been that Colin Montgomery? Because I watch him on Golf Channel now, and he's fabulous. And engaging, funny. I mean, like, well, tremendous. So I file all those reports. Well, then as I'm filing these reports, the Bronco thing starts. And then I'm looking up at the screen. I remember Jimmy Roberts comes over. And Jimmy Roberts and I had a mutual friend. So I knew we had met earlier, talked earlier in the whole thing and so forth. And so he came up. He goes, check this out. I said, yeah. So I'm looking at it. I said, couldn't believe it. And then to make the story even bigger and better, the two of us are standing there, and along with a third guy named Bruce Dunn. And Bruce Dunn and I, we're driven down to this together, okay? And then Chris Berman comes over, and he says, can you believe this? And we all looked at him like, no, I really can't. So I finished filing this stuff, and then it's time. I got to leave. And so I go to leave, and, you know, I was hoping I could listen to the NBA final between the Rockets and Knicks until I got home. Right, but instead I'm over on KDKA and I'm trying to find what's the coverage on this Bronco chase. And so I'm driving back and I'm listening to this, I'm driving back listening to the whole thing. I finally get home and I get home. Kevin, it's 2 hours. He's still going. I couldn't believe it.
And the thing that always really
the thing that always hits me is it was not your normal California freeway chase. I mean, this was what this was nowhere near high speed. And I think and it might be, Steve, the first thing I remember in the way of, you know, these kind of a traffic coverage, you know, as far as chases like this. I don't remember any chases before the white white Ford Bronco as far as helicopter coverage and things like that.
Well, then, I remember the day I left the Rose Bowl was January 3rd, 5 in the morning, and the top story that morning was that jury selection was going to begin for the O.J. Simpson trial. Okay. So then this trial starts. Now, my brother was really into it. He followed everything. You name it, he followed it on when it came to the Simpson trial. He was completely engulfed in it. And he calls me up one night and he says, "You got to watch TV. You got to watch TV tonight." I said, "Okay, what am I looking for?" He goes, "No, it's the O.J. trial." I said, "Yeah, I got it, the O.J. trial. What?" He says, "Just watch the beginning when he gets out of the car." I said, "Okay." He said, "You'll know it when you see it." I said, "Okay." So I turn it on. I was watching CNN. I turn on the beginning, shows him getting out of the car. I knew exactly what he was talking about. And the reason I know exactly what he's talking about is that the L.A. County Sheriff's Department, of course, drives him in every day, the transportation guys. It's the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. Guess who's driving the car? My cousin George.
So you literally have, what is it called, the 6 degrees of separation?
Well, he, you know, his nickname to us is Butch because his father, George Sr., is actually my godfather. And he, George had gone through Vietnam, the whole thing, and he finally hooked on. He got a job at the L.A. County Sheriff's Department. And he, celebrity means zero to him. He could care less about anybody. He's just, but I asked him about, I don't know, I want to say 4 or 5 years ago, he's at my mom's house, and we were chit-chatting about whatever. And, so I asked him about the O.J. thing, and he looks at me and says, "Steve, every day he got in that car, and every day, you know, it's him, because they have a tandem. He's not the only guy in the car with him." He says, "Every day we'd be sitting there," and he says, "I'm innocent. I didn't do it. I didn't do it." And they're like, oh, yeah. He also had a couple of interesting stories about the Menendez brothers and Robert Downey Jr., too. He finally got out. He finally says, "Look, I'm sick of California." He says, you know. He'd earned enough to retire. He's 11 years older than I am. So a couple of years ago, he retired to Idaho. But yeah.
To Idaho. There's a change.
No, it is a change. The last time I saw him was when my mom passed away a year and a half ago. I saw him then.
Well, on behalf of the listeners, Steve, sorry to interrupt you there, but I wanted to thank you because now we all have 6 degrees separation to O.J. Simpson now. So thanks. Yeah.
But Bud Tallman, who was at Penn State at the time, he knew O.J. really well because Bud was the publicity director for the Bills. Bud had this great picture in his office at Penn State of he and O.J. in the locker room at Shea Stadium. When O.J. broke the 2,000-yard mark, they carried him off the field, but there was still 4 minutes to go. Well, Bud was down in the field, so the game's not over yet, and a photographer came down and snapped a picture of Bud and O.J. together in the locker room because nobody else was around because the game wasn't over yet. And he always had that picture. He always had that picture hanging in his locker room. I mean, it is in his office. Yep. Yeah, my cousin drove him almost every day. When I talked to him about it, I could hear the thrilled expression in his voice.
Greta Van Susteren can credit her career to the O.J. Simpson trial.
A lot of people can.
That's a good point, too.
I mean, a lot of people can. CNN can credit a lot of money that they made over the years to that trial.
And I don't know about you, but I don't wear gloves anymore without saying, if the gloves don't fit, you must acquit.
I don't really think about that.
It's the strange things that I think of.
And don't think the audience hasn't figured that out.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Kratzer Insurance Agency.
While looking for a vehicle, you know that if it sounds too good to be true, chances are it is too good to be true. You get the runaround, gotta go from place to place. Well, you can just skip all of that and go straight to Sunbury Motor Company. Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915, so you know they've got it right. No offers that look good on paper or online, and then you get disappointed when you see them in person. Sunbury Motor Company offers a lineup few other auto dealers in the area can compete with. With the inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles, there will be no problem finding the right vehicle that fits your needs and your budget. And the friendly, knowledgeable staff's ready and able to help you with everything from the test drive to the drive off the lot. See for yourself at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, Ford, Lincoln, Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Look for them online anytime at sunburymotors.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome. Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. They take care of all your insurance needs, and they've taken great care of the Valley for decades. I'm also in the Sunbury Motors studio here at the Chateau. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. How about the World Cup yesterday? Now, obviously, one of the big stories around here is going to be the validity of the report of whether Dave Joyner is going to resign or not. It's being reported by Penn Live and David Jones. It's his story, his baby. That's the path it appears to be going to. But we'll wait for confirmation on that one way or the other. And how about the World Cup yesterday? I'm sitting over today at the TV station, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody. It doesn't matter whether they know anything about soccer at all. Everybody was talking about it. How exciting it was. And that they were into it, where they were watching it, and the whole deal. In the ballpark last night at Medler Field, every time the score was announced, cheers all through the park. If they can beat Portugal on Sunday, Ronaldo obviously is going to be a tough cover for the U.S. Pepe will not play. He got a red card against Germany. That's a big loss for Portugal. But the U.S. has had losses, too, because of injuries suffered in the match last night. If the U.S. can win and ensure that they get out of the pool, everything else to me is gravy. It's all gravy after that. And we'll see how much gravy you end up getting. But that would be, it would be incredible for them to get out of pool play. And if they could beat Portugal, they can wrap that up before they even play Germany. What they will have done for the sport in this country. Because the rating yesterday was between 7 and 8. Huge rating.
for a Monday night at 6 o'clock, which also, by the way, happened to be a Monday afternoon at 3 in Los Angeles, 4 in Denver, 5 in Chicago. Not exactly prime viewing time, yet they got between a 7 and an 8. People were watching, and they may not have known the name of any player on the team, but they knew the jersey. It's interesting to watch. It's an interesting phenomenon to watch how people are into this. And I'm talking, you know, even the least casual of fans knows the U.S. won yesterday.
And the guy that scores the winning goal, by the way, Steve, was really as shocked to even make the team.
Well, he's the first substitute to ever score for the United States, ever. He's just 21 years old. I mean, he looked more shocked than anybody else. He kind of put his hands up by his face with like, I can't believe I just did that.
Brooks just was in. I mean, I don't want to take anything away from the talent, but I mean, he just was in the right spot and did exactly what you're taught to do.
But I mean, your ilk won't talk to you about it because they want to talk about whether or not they should buy the latest Heath Miller jersey. But like, you know, I'm around normal people.
Oh yeah.
So
yes, I'm sure.
Well, wasn't there conversation around you that they won?
Let me put it to you this way.
Now wait.
Now listen. Gone,
that's all people talked about.
First things first. I am not saying anything negative towards soccer and the World Cup, okay? What I am going to say is this reminds me of the Winter Games when the U.S. beat the Soviets in a shootout. Everybody talked about it the next day. If the U.S. would have lost to Ghana, nobody really would have talked about it. That's all I'm saying. I'm not taking anything away from the win. I'm not taking anything away from the World Cup. But what I'm saying is negative. The fact that they won makes a big difference.
Negative. He's just negative.
If they would have lost 2-1, you would have heard some stories about it, and then everybody would have been like, yeah, I watched a little bit of it. They lost 2-1. That was the end of it.
I have to give you credit. You could take lottery winnings and make it seem bad.
Listen, was I happy that the U.S. won? Yes.
I mean, I know I won the lottery, but geez, I wish it was more.
I mean, if I would have, I did not watch it. If I would have realized the U.S. was up.
You didn't watch it?
No.
You didn't watch it?
No.
Oh, we had it on the booth last night. I was watching it.
No.
You're kidding me.
I was catching up on my the final episode of John Adams on HBO. I hadn't seen that series, okay? No, I I'm not taking anything away from the win, but I'm just saying if they would have lost, we wouldn't be talking about it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah. When did I stop becoming a fan?
Yeah. I mean, people all over the landscape are all. I mean, look, they know we won.
Yes.
And guess
I agree.
What? It's a fact that we won. Okay?
Yes.
I never refer to anything as
you never
we.
Say
well,
we.
Guess what?
That's right.
Okay. We won the United States. We won.
And I will say this: I know 3 players on that team, which are 3 more players than I knew 2 days ago. And I didn't even watch the game.
You should have.
No, I'll watch Sunday. I mean, I will jump on the bandwagon right now and watch on Sunday. Because from all the reports that I read, and I am not a soccer aficionado, so I try to read to keep up with all this, with Pepe being out, the team from Portugal does not have a whole lot of bench. They don't have a whole lot of reserve.
Right.
So this is a very good opportunity for the U.S. to really surprise not only Portugal but the world by winning 2 in what has been called the death group or something like that. I've heard the nickname.
Yeah.
So if you watched it or didn't watch it, give us a call, 800-795-9565. Like to hear from the Susquehanna Valley. 1-800-795-9565. Did you watch it or not? But I agree with you. You're aware whether you watched it or not.
I mean, people know we won yesterday. Was it unexpected? In some ways. But when Dempsey scored in the first minute, everybody's like, this is unbelievable.
That's true.
Then Ghana ties it in the second half, and you're like, okay, this, you know, and part of it, I have to admit, now obviously I'm trying to broadcast a game at the same time. So I'm trying to pick up little bits and pieces as I go. But when the kid scored in the 87th minute, John Brooks, everybody in the place went crazy.
Well, and it was a spectacular header, too. I mean, it was on a corner kick and a header. That's, if you're going to score a goal, the only more exciting way to do it is in penalty kicks.
But people are aware that we won. That's the big thing. People are aware that we won. Okay? And they're also aware that we're playing Sunday at 5:30 against Portugal. That's just a great advancement for the sport in this country, that there's any kind of awareness. I mean, that's the big part to me, is the awareness of it and the fact that by winning, they excited people by it.
And all I'm going to say is a loss on Sunday and things will be back to normal. However, if the U.S. wins two in a row, you could see maybe the highest soccer ratings for a broadcast of any time on their third game.
Against Germany?
Yes. Just because, well, first off, just because they won two in a row, and secondly, because of Germany.
Well, Germany's a power. There's no question about that. And nobody knows that more than Jurgen Klinsmann.
Even That's he exactly looks shocked. Right.
Even he looks shocked. He was like, hey, wait, we won.
We won? Great.
No, but I mean, but I'm saying, but people are, at the TV station today, people were talking about it, excited about it, were into what was going on, thought, you know, and people I didn't expect that would have any awareness that was being played said, oh, yeah, no, I watched the second half, or, you know, I saw the highlights, something they know about it.
Mark Lawrence talked about it this morning, okay? When Mark My Lawrence point. Talks about a sport,
my point
the
exactly.
world stops moving for a few minutes.
Okay, my point exactly. It is, now yesterday I was talking about the importance of LeBron James, and of course ESPN is going to give it blanket coverage. And of course, I couldn't quite convince you of the significance of LeBron James and where he signs.
It'll be LeBron on the fives on ESPN News.
Look, this is, at the moment, the single most powerful athlete in sports. Because of the NBA rules, he has all the power to opt out, and he has all the power as to where he signs. All of it. Peyton Manning didn't have that power till Indianapolis released him. Sidney Crosby's locked up for, I think, 10 more years. 10 more years? He still has 10 years to go.
Isn't that long? Wow.
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
And
did Ruben Amaro make that contract?
No. Yeah. But you're talking about power here. I mean, what other athlete has really had this kind of power? I mean, Catfish Hunter kind of had that kind of power in the 70s, maybe Reggie Jackson. But as time went and more of these guys became Wayne Garland and not Reggie Jackson, If Mike Trout becomes a free agent today, he does not change the balance of power of the sport the way LeBron James can. He's already proven in his youth he can take nothing and make it into a contender. He's proven he can take a contender and make them a champion.
I do request, if nothing else, please refrain from, quote, taking your talents, unquote. That's all I'm asking. If nothing else, that's all I ask. Just refrain from using that phrase.
Well, but he has more, and that's significant. Now, another significant thing that's going to happen this week is Thursday, Mark Emmert's going to be on the witness stand. And before the populace, which doesn't like Mark Emmert in this state, gets all...
That's an understatement.
Yeah, but before you get worked into a lather, you have to have... Part of doing this job is perspective. We can't all be a fan like you.
Okay. That's why you're the host. I'm just here to be the fan.
Okay. You have to remember a couple things. Number one, this is a civil trial. And I know Buhner's listening, and Buhner's going to back me up on this. All right? And this is being a civil trial. You know what the key is?
What's that?
They've already done depositions.
So we know, so everybody knows what they're going to say.
They already know what they're going to say. Now, he may say something that's a little bit different than the deposition, or maybe different. That's where they'll try to trip him up a little bit.
Oh, I'm sure he will.
But, if you love college sports, I don't know if you want to see... I think you want to see some modifications to the current model, but you don't want to see it scrapped. Why do you want to see it scrapped?
Modifications. Severe modifications.
Okay, severe. Okay, go ahead. That's a big word, so let's... What severe modifications?
Well, I honestly think that the NCAA reaches too far. We've talked about this many times. I think the Penn State situation is a perfect example of the overreach of the NCAA.
But that's not okay. Let's take that off the table.
But there's a lot of but what I'm saying is the NCAA has an awful lot of power over the universities, and that's an example of that kind of power.
Right, I understand that. That part I understand. Okay, I got that part. But we're talking about the student-athlete part here. That's what the O'Bannon trial is about. The O'Bannon trial is not about the fact that they totally foul-balled the Penn State thing.
No, I'm talking about an NCAA reorganization,
they need to reorganize some parts of it, but they need to reorganize some of the rules. This is all involving the rules involving student-athletes, all right? And television money and the fact that guys like you buy video games and live your life through video games and things like that.
Vicariously through video games?
That's what this is about. Do you want to see that financial model go by the board?
No.
There's too much naivete when it comes to, they're on TV, they're making all this money, pay them. Okay, we'll do it your way. And tomorrow's press conference, we're announcing which sports we're dropping. What? No, you're not going to drop any sports. You just said that we have to pay the football and basketball players. What? So we have to drop other sports to do it. All the money's taken. I think there's a perception that all this money that's pouring into the coffers is in some Grand Cayman's account.
Grand Cayman's account.
I'm just saying that I think that's the perception that some people and some of the media give you. For example, Penn State has a national championship volleyball program, a national championship wrestling program, a national championship fencing program, a Big Ten championship women's basketball program, Big Ten championship women's soccer program. Okay? Now, what are the two things that all five of them have in common? Number one, they're all champions. Number two, not one of them can support their own weight. The Philadelphia / Baltimore Stars were champions in the USFL 2 years in a row, 1984 and 1985. Well, guess what? As a business, they lost money. Where are they now? The current model allows you to have, at Penn State as an example, 31 sports. At Ohio State as an example, 34 sports. The money goes back into circulation and not just in football and men's basketball. It takes a lot to run an athletic department, a lot. And you need the combination of Nittany Lion Club donations, tickets sold, parking, television money, radio money. You know, I mean, the radio contract with Learfield's not a small contract. TV contract, they're talking about maybe $44.5 million as a possibility in 2 years for Big Ten schools. But where does it go? When you have 800 to 900 student-athletes, the money goes into them. And starting on August 1st, the NCAA, again, you talked about the management model being askew. This is a perfect example of it. At least they ended up doing the right thing, and that's going with the unlimited meal plan starting on August 1st. Okay? Now, while that's all well and good, guess what? It costs a lot of money. Now you're saying, why do you pay a football coach that much money? Why do you pay a basketball coach that much money? Well, the school doesn't pay all the money. Television brings in some money. Their radio shows bring in money, pregame, postgame, talk show on Thursday nights, and so forth. I mean, that's how it works. That's where the extra money comes in. But, you know, do you want Mark Emmert to fall completely flat on his face on Thursday? If you love college sports, you don't want him to fall completely on his face. When it comes to the Penn State thing, you know, look, you know, it's like get the darn thing straightened out, because we all know the rush to judgment was dramatic and incorrect. Okay? All right? But when it comes to this, this is a bigger picture thing than that. Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland sponsoring Tuesday as always. We'll come back with more in a moment, including more anti-World Cup rants from Kevin on News Radio 1070 WKOK.